Well, hey, good morning and Merry Christmas. It is so good to see you and good to be in the house of the Lord. And you want me to start with the bad news or the good news? Bad news or good news? Bad news, Michigan State lost to a team that was 1-8 yesterday. It was really hard to sleep last night. The good news is the Detroit Lions made the playoffs. Round of applause. The bad news is they're going to lose in 2 weeks to the Packers. Because the Lions have not won in Green Bay in 20 years. So is this the year? I don't know. How many of you have your Christmas shopping done? Got your Christmas shopping done? How many of you are like, no, I'm not even close, haven't started yet? Okay, well, good. Let me see what else here I have. Mission trip coming up here that Rick and Rose and Gretchen are going down to Mexico on New Year's Day or the day after, and so I want to pray for them. And he also mentioned to pray for just our country right now and police and kind of everything that's been going on. And so how about we do that? How about we just pray a special prayer for them and for our country and just go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, past and present and future, and we celebrate your birth this Christmas season. We are so thankful for that. And Lord, we pray for Rick and Rose and Gretchen as they travel down to Mexico and those that are going with them, and will be giving supplies, and pray that you'd keep them safe on the road, give them a clear road during that time, and pray that you'd speak through them by the power of your Holy Spirit that is in them. Pray that you'd soften and humble the hearts of the people there in Mexico, that they would be receptive to the good news, to your message, and that many would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, we pray for our nation and our country. We pray for reconciliation and restoration and healing, Lord, to take place out there on the streets. We pray that through this, people may find hope, and hope is found only in you. And so, Lord, we pray that this would be an opportunity for your gospel to go out and for people to find you during this time of the year, this season of the year, Lord. And pray that you'd use us here in this community to be a light to people that don't know you. And we pray that you'd get all the honor, glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, next Sunday we will have a very special message entitled Overwhelmed. And perhaps you feel overwhelmed this time of the year, this Christmas season. Maybe you have a lot of worry or a lot of anxiety right now. You might even be a little depressed, possibly. And so if that's you, you might even have those thoughts. Or maybe you don't have those thoughts, but you know someone who does. This is going to be a great message for you, or to help you minister to someone who may be struggling in those areas. So that's next Sunday. Today we are finishing up our series, Fear Not, Fear Not. And angels appeared in the birth story three different times. And each time they said what? Fear not, or do not be afraid. And so far in this series, we've seen an angel appear to Mary. And last week, an angel appeared to Joseph. And now today, we're going to see an angel and a host of angels appear to shepherds. And I would really like to ask the question today, a question that we all have, is a fear of, where do I stand with God? Where do I stand with God? Where do you stand with God? That's a question we all want to know, right? Where do I stand with God? And so let's jump right into this part of the birth story where an angel appears to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11 says this: "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," or "fear not," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." What's really interesting to me is who the angel appeared to. Shepherds. You would think that God would make this announcement to royalty, perhaps religious leaders, kings, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes. However, God sends an angel to make the heralded announcement to some shepherds. Amazing, isn't it? And you may say, well, of course, because my nativity scene at home has shepherds, right? But what you may not know is that shepherds were one of the most disrespected groups. The job of a shepherd was so low that a father often reserved this for his youngest son or slaves. And according to the religious system, they were always rejected. They were always rejected. Shepherds were uneducated, and so there was no room for career advancement. And the religious leaders taught that shepherds were not good enough for God. And so they felt distant from God. They felt like an outcast, so to speak. So why exactly did they feel distant from God? Well, let me give you three reasons. First point there on your bulletin, for those of you taking notes, is they felt unworthy. They felt very unworthy as shepherds. They were outcasts in Israel, nomads who were on the road. A lot like a truck driver. They would be gone for days or weeks or months at a time. Therefore, they couldn't come back to the temple to worship. Hence, they were declared ceremonially unclean. They weren't made right with God because they couldn't perform their religious duties. They were on the road. They couldn't go to church. You're no longer clean. Why else did they feel unworthy? Well, next, they hung out with sheep. How do you think people smell that hang out with sheep? Bad. It's my lame attempt at a joke this morning. Not only were they physically dirty, but religious leaders considered them to be spiritually dirty. A religious person would not even touch a shepherd. Why? Because they didn't want to be considered as spiritually unclean themselves. And as I thought about this, the reality is a lot of us can feel that way. We can feel so unworthy. We can at times feel dirty ourselves. We come into church and we put on our church face. However, we know a lot of the bad things that we've done. We know. Maybe nobody else knows, but in our hearts, we know the things we've done or said. We know the things we should do and we don't do. And so we say, how could God love someone like me? How could God love someone like me? And we look around at everybody else and they look so Christmassy, so holy and righteous. And you're thinking, you know what? I almost killed my kid on the way to church this morning. All right? I am so unworthy. I feel so far like I fall short. Everybody else is so holy and righteous and Christmassy. So they felt very unworthy, the shepherds. Second, they felt inadequate. They felt inadequate. You know, it's amazing that when we look at other people and we compare ourselves with other people, sometimes we can just feel like, wow, I just fall so far short. Ladies, maybe you visit a friend and you go to her house and her house smells like a candle and her floors are clean and her kid's hair is brushed, and you're like, you walk into my home and it smells like laundry And the floors, we can't even see the floors at my house, and we haven't brushed my kids' hair since 1987. You know, the next big rule that shepherds had trouble obeying was to rest, honoring the Sabbath. A shepherd's job was 24/7. They didn't take time to rest. It was around the clock. And so because they couldn't honor the Sabbath, be taking a rest during that time, they felt like they were constant spiritual failures. We look around at others and sometimes we say, man, they're so close to God, right? They got a Bible verse for everything, right? They're quoting books in the Bible. I didn't even know were books in the Bible, right? And when they pray, their prayers are so powerful. And when I pray, God, help me not to kill this person who took my parking spot, right? So they felt very unworthy as shepherds. They felt inadequate. And third, they felt very unloved. They felt unloved. You know, a lot of shepherds, they were known as thieves. And so because they had this reputation of, as being known as thieves, they were distrusted. People didn't trust them. They weren't even allowed to give a testimony in a court of law. A shepherd would want to be married, but no father was going to bless his daughter to be married to a shepherd. Why? Because they were so low and filthy and uneducated, and there was no hope for them for a better future. And so when you put all this together, what do we have? We have unworthy, inadequate, and unloved. And that's not a great feeling to have, is it? Maybe today you feel that way. Maybe today you feel that way. Perhaps your dad left you when you were a child, and you were left wondering, what's wrong with me? It was just me and mom. Why wouldn't he love me? Or maybe this Christmas is the first Christmas you're going to spend without your spouse. Why? Because they said, you know what? I no longer love you. I no longer love you. And so you're left wondering, well, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong to deserve this? Maybe you look in the mirror and you don't even like yourself. And so you're like, you know what? If they don't love me and I don't love me, how could God ever love someone like me? The difference between perception and reality, sometimes it's amazing. We look around at the people sitting around us and we say, well, he or she, man, they got it all together. He's so successful, and I look at their family and they just look like they have the perfect family, like they're all together, and wow, I am so screwed up. I am so messed up. If people knew what was going on in my life or in my head or in my thoughts, you know, the truth is we have no idea of the pain of the people sitting right around us. There may be someone three seats down that is thinking of cashing it in. And they're saying something like, you know what? If my kids weren't here, I wish I wouldn't even be here. Or there could be a dad here this morning saying, I'm just struggling to provide for my family. I wish I could do more for my family this year in terms of presents, but I just can't. Or maybe someone here this morning is saying, you know what? I'm single or I'm divorced, and why doesn't anyone love me? Why don't I have anyone here for me this morning? Maybe someone is here and they have money and they have things, but there's this burden, there's this guilt, there's this pain. Why? because they don't have anyone close to them that they can open up to and share those burdens and those things that they're wrestling with right now in life. Religion did not work for the shepherds. Religion didn't work for the shepherds. It made them feel even more distant from God. And you know what? Religion does not work for us either. God didn't send Jesus to bring religion into the world, but to set us free from religion and to give us something better. You know, the problem with religion is that it reduces Christianity to a bunch of rules, do's and don'ts. If I do the right thing, then I'll feel better about myself. I must be a good person because I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't watch R-rated movies. And if you do, then I have a right to look down on you. Why? Because I'm more holy than you. I'm more righteous than you, and I obey more rules than you. Jesus looked at that kind of behavior, and in so many words, he said, it just makes me want to vomit. Christianity was never meant to be a religion, but a relationship with God. That's why God sent a person. That's why God sent his son, Jesus Christ. That's the good news. You may say, well, what's the good news? First point, you cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. You cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. That was good news to the shepherds. Why was it good news? Because in the society they lived in at that day and time, the Pharisees tried to live by 613 commands. 613. As Christians, we have what? The Ten Commandments. God said, let me make it a little easier for you. Let me give you two. Love God and love people. But you know what? We can't obey the two any more than we can the ten. Right? We have a hard time loving God and loving people. Why then do we have the law? What was the purpose of the law? Second, the purpose of the law is to show you your need for a Savior. That's the purpose of the law, to show you your need for a Savior. Romans 3:20, the second part of it says this: the law simply shows us how sinful we are. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. What's one of the most fundamental flaws in our society today? One of the most fundamental flaws in our society today is that people actually think they're good. People actually think they're good. Well, he's a good person. Right? No, you're not. Not when you compare yourself to God and his standards and his son. Right? Yeah, I can look better than my neighbor. Maybe sometimes. I don't know. My neighbor brought me some cookies the other day. She's looking pretty good right now. All right. I said, I can't put that in this body, this temple. I'll give them to Monica, but thank you. Merry Christmas. Romans 3:23 says this: for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standards. We're all in the same boat here. Nobody is better than anybody else. All right. Somebody said to me today as I'm going home for the holidays, don't be speeding. Don't be speeding as you drive back to Tennessee. And I thought, you know, the only difference between me and someone speeding is that I hope I don't get caught. Right? I'm probably, right, if there's a law, I want to break it. Right? If mom says, don't eat the cookies before the Christmas meal, you know what? If they're hot and they just came out of the oven, if she has her back turned, what's going to happen? I'm going to eat those cookies. All right. The only way to avoid breaking the law is not to have a law. That's the only way to avoid breaking it. How then are we made right with God? Third, righteousness with God comes by faith in Christ alone. We are made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ alone. I like these verses here. Romans 3, verses 21 and 22 says this. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. All right? We can't keep those requirements because we'll be tempted to break them. As was promised in the writing of Moses and the prophets long ago, we are made right with God by what? By placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. It's not Jesus plus religion, or Jesus plus church membership, or Jesus plus giving money in the offering plate, or Jesus plus good works. It's Jesus plus nothing. When you place your faith in Jesus, God no longer sees you as you are, but he sees the righteousness of Christ. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says this, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Are we good enough for God on our own? No. We're not good enough for God on our own. So what we could not do, he did for us. God did for us. He sent his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and sinful man. He did away with it. Why? In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Religion is all about us and our own effort to please God. Right? Religion's all about us and our own effort to please God. Relationship is all about Jesus and his perfect work on the cross. You know, religion says, if I work hard, if I just work hard, I might be accepted. Right? If I work hard, I just might be accepted. I have to work hard. This is the mentality of my grandma, who's 92 in Michigan. I'll say, Grandma, you got to put your faith in Jesus alone. You cannot add anything to it. And she'll say, well, no, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to do, right? And she'll add this big, long list. And I'm like, you don't got to do anything. You just got to put your faith in Jesus. Relationship says, I'm already accepted, and because of this, I want to please God. It's not I have to work hard and I might be accepted. No, I am accepted, and because I'm accepted and loved, I want to please God. So no matter how bad you've been or how alone you feel today, no matter how bad you've been or how alone you feel today, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember what Galatians 3:26 says. Galatians 3:26 says this, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And so my question really this morning is this, have you put your faith in Jesus, or are you counting on your own righteousness? Have you placed your faith in Jesus, or are you saying, you know what? I'm counting on my own righteousness. I've been reading through the Gospels, and I love that passage where the Pharisees and the teachers of the law see Jesus eating at Levi's house, the tax collector, and they say to Jesus, why, and his disciples, they say, why does your teacher eat and drink with such scum? What a question to ask. And Jesus said, what? It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. The Bible says that all our so-called good deeds are as filthy rags in his sight. So you no longer have to feel unworthy, inadequate, or unloved. And you may say, why do I no longer have to feel that way, Ed? Here's why. Because Jesus has made you worthy and more than adequate. The message of Christmas is this: he loves you. He loves you. That's the message of Christmas. You no longer have to feel unworthy, inadequate, or unloved. He loves you. No matter how bad you've been. All right, we see those shirts, naughty or nice. The reality is we're all naughty. Nobody's nice. It's where you've chosen to place your faith. Jesus says, I have come not to call those who think they are righteous, who think they have it all together, who look Christmassy and holy and righteous. Because I got to tell you, when I go home and I look at my life and I look at it in light of reading God's word, it reveals all the ugliness in my life, all the sin in my life, and I say, God, I am so unworthy. I am so inadequate. How is it that you would send your son into the world for me? And God says, because I love you. I love you. And just accept it. You don't have to perform for me. You don't have to jump through hoops for me. And if you think about that, that's how you look at your children, right? You just love them because they are. It's who they are, right? They're your children, right? And yeah, you get excited when they jump through hoops and when they perform and everything else, but they don't have to do anything. They just have to be who they are, and you love them. That's the message of Christmas. God loves you. He has made you worthy, and you are more than adequate. And so when you place your faith in Jesus, God no longer sees you as you are. He sees the righteousness of Christ. And that's good news. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I got to be honest, I don't know Jesus. I've been counting on my own righteousness. In fact, I try to add Jesus plus sprinkling in church every once in a while. I just feel like if I come to church on Christmas and Easter, then God will love me. It's not about church attendance. It's not about you and your own effort to please God. And you say, I see that. I see that I can't add to it. It's hard to believe, but it's true. And so maybe you're here today and you're feeling bad. You're feeling alone. And for the first time you're saying, you know what? I really need Jesus. That's a good place to be in. It really is. It may be hard, right? Some of my most depressing times in life are when a lot was going on in my life and I was at low points and I had nowhere else to turn but to Jesus and to his word. And so I just went home, I cried, and I opened up his word and I just said, Jesus, I need you. I need you. I need you. Maybe that's you this morning. And so in a moment, you'd say, Ed, that is so me. I need Jesus. We're going to give you the opportunity to pray a prayer to help aid you in that process to make him your Lord and your Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I don't have a hunger for Jesus like I should. I want a hunger for him. I want to go deeper in my relationship with him. And I realize that I feel alone and empty because I'm too wrapped up in the things of this world and what's going on around me. And I've been busy. And I've forgotten about him. And I want him. If that's you, we're going to pray for you here in a moment. Maybe you're here this morning and you just say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but there's some things that I've done recently or said to some people that I just feel so unworthy. I feel so inadequate and I just feel so unloved. Would you pray for me? Because sometimes I ask, how could God love someone like me? Let's pray. Jesus, Lord, pray first for those here that don't know you as their Lord and Savior. And you may say, Ed, that's me. I came in here today and I thought it was by my own merit that if I just do the right things that I'll feel good about myself. And when you said the most fundamental flaw in society is that people actually think they're good, I thought I was good. But when I really look deep down inside, I know a lot of the bad things I've done and the things I should do and don't do, and I'd have to agree that I'm not a good person and I don't have it all together. And if people really knew me and I let them in, they would see how screwed up I am. And I want to start new and I want to start fresh today. I want to give my heart and my soul and my mind and my life to the Lord. And you may not even fully understand or know what that means yet, and that's okay. The first step is saying, I want it, and I trust God. And so if that's you, I would just ask you to bow your heads and softly and quietly repeat these words in your heart after me, and here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just prayed that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I need to get to that low point. I need to get to that low point where Jesus is the only thing I want. And I'm not distracted and consumed by everything going on around me. Would you pray for me, Ed, that I would have that hunger? Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters, not only for them, but for me, that you'd bring us to a point where all we want for Christmas is more of you. That we would long to be in your presence and that we would run to spend time with you in your word and that you would just speak to us, Lord. That we would no longer feel distant, but that we would connect with you in a new way, in a deeper way. Maybe you're here and you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but lately I just feel so unworthy, so inadequate, so unloved. The message of Christmas is this: He loves you. He loves you. No matter what you've done or how alone you may feel, He loves you. And so, Lord, I pray that you wrap your arms, your big arms around my brothers and sisters comfort them, encourage them, fill them with your love and your presence, that they may know right now, this moment, that you love them, that you haven't forgotten about them, that you have a plan and a purpose in the midst of their hurt and their pain at this time of the year, and that you're going to carry them through this season. For you are the great healer, you are the great physician, and the comforter. Paul says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Lord, I pray that you comfort my brothers and sisters, that they may remember, if nothing else today, the message of Christmas is you love them and you have made them worthy. You have made them more than adequate. And they are your children. We are your children. And because of that, we rejoice. We pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name.